We're going to read the sixth chapter this morning, John chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading and read down through as we find the 13th verse, and we're going to end at the 13th verse today. John 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny loaf of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in a number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. What a beautiful picture today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and look to your word. And again, all of the Sunday school classes, I know, enjoyed fellowshipping over your word. And it's wonderful, Father, to have that opportunity to come and to hear your word and to study your word. Please, dear Lord, continue your blessings upon us. Continue your instruction and your leadership of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the beautiful sounds that were made this morning as we lifted up these words unto you and singing these hymns. And Father, now we're about to enjoy once again the search and the study of your precious word. We need to be taught by your Holy Spirit that he will come and lead us today. And so please, give us your wisdom and strength and power today that all may hear, all will know you as their Savior, and if they do not know you as their Savior today, that they will come today and trust in you as their Savior. There should never be a person leave this fellowship that does not know you as their Savior. It is a will of man to come. It's not Father, you just died on the cross, sent your Son to die on the cross to save us. You did that. But you do not force your salvation or your will upon anyone. And so, Father, it's our will that we call upon you. And I hope today that everyone will call upon you today. And not one person leave here without knowing you as their Savior and the work that you've done on the cross of Calvary. And, Father, please that we're here, many are saved, and we're here to learn of you and to grow. Teach us your way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As often we spend just a little bit of time in review, and last week we spent the bulk of the message concerning the Antichrist and the Antichrist. There are many Antichrists today. Definition of an Antichrist today is ones that do not stand for the pure doctrine of the Word of God. They deny, for instance, the virgin birth or the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They deny his second coming. We have no fellowship with those that stay and leave the Word of God and not stand up on the truth. But there will be a time when there will be a single Antichrist, and he will come and rule and reign. That will be during the tribulation period. The Antichrist, the little ones are here. We have many false teachers and false preachers today that do not stand for the Word of God. They are Antichrists. But there be a day that we will have one, the man of sin. He will be the last world dictator, and he will come and rule and reign, and that will be during the tribulation period. It's sad because we learned that the Jews was more concerned about pleasing man and pleasing each other than they were about pleasing God, and they cared more about that. They were more looking, and today we sure see that. They're more looking for the chief seats. They're looking for someone to pat themselves, them on the back, and praise and honor them. We need to be more concerned about the praise of God and for us to honor God. Why did the Jews miss this? They had the Word of God. They had the Old Testament. How did they miss this? It's because they were studying the Old Testament, and particularly as the Lord Jesus spoke here, he spoke of the books of Moses, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses. Said, Moses told you about me. Now, what they missed was they missed the Lord Jesus in those books. They saw it as history. They looked to their father Abraham as being the one most powerful. And they missed that Abraham spoke so clearly about the Lord Jesus Christ and many others. And many scripture verses, as we've talked about, the tabernacle is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus, the sacrifice he was going to bring. Every sacrifice that was brought was a picture of the Lord Jesus to come. And they missed it. They got so bogged down in the law and the tradition that they missed the very one that all of those books spoke of. And so we find now with that, and today it's much the same way. We're bogged down with traditions of man. We're more interested in the wealth of the world and the power of the world than we are in pleasing our God. And so nothing has changed as this scripture tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. And sad to say, evil is much like that. Then it starts here in the sixth chapter, and it says, after these things. There was a period of time that has passed. We're not sure how much time, but a period of time has passed from this time that was spoken in the fifth chapter now to the sixth chapter. We are at the Sea of Galilee, it tells us here, but John goes on to tell us which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now, the reason that he explains the difference there, it is believed that John has written this gospel much later than the other three gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke was written earlier. John has written this much later. And at that time, the name of the Sea of Galilee had been changed to the Sea of Tiberias. And there's a town that is on the coastline, and that's believed to be why, and it was a fairly new town, and they just named the sea after that. The Sea of Galilee, or Sea of Tiberias, it's hard for me to imagine. I have never been to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, or the Sea of Galilee, but this sea is 600 feet below sea level. That just is unbelievable, and it's 600 feet below sea level. However, the Jordan River flows in and flows out, and so we're still going down. And how something can be so low, and we know where it ends, and that's to the Dead Sea, and that's where it stops. But here it's about 13 miles long, and it's about 7 miles wide. Now, you can get your thought here just a little bit. The Mississippi River here at the bridge is about a mile wide, and so take that times 7 times, and it's 13 miles long. And so that's the Sea of Galilee where this kind of takes place. There's a lot of things that's going on at this time, and so much is going on. There is a great multitude that are following him, the scripture tells us here in verse 2. And this the public that is surrounding him, there is just never a time for a time of leisure to rest. It's almost limiting them to where there's never even a time to eat, and so they find themselves to go to the other side to try to get away just for a little rest. You see, the Lord Jesus, being God, still is a complete man, and so physically he gets tired, and physically he needs to eat, just like you and I need to eat, and just like you and I get physically tired. But there is much going on here. Herod's persecution is just continuing to increase during this time. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. So you kind of get the timeline here, just a little bit of what's going on. And appears now that Jesus leaves from the west coast on the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias, and he lands on the northeast coast, northeast side, and that is the city of Bethsaida. Luke chapter 9, verse 10 gives us those instructions and tells us about that. And now, again, a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. The second verse. We find here why they followed the Lord Jesus. And we have the same problem today in many church buildings. The reason people go to those places is not because the Word of God is taught, not because the truth is preached, not because they stand upon the doctrines of the Word of God, but because of the excitement. Whether it be music, whatever it might be, they go really for the wrong reason. These people here are following Jesus for the wrong reason. These people are not following him because they believe he's the Messiah. They're not following him because they know he can save them from their sin. They're not following for that reason. They're following him only because of the miracles they're seeing. That's the only reason they're following him, just for the miracles, just for the excitement. Now, the Lord Jesus did the miracles to show that he was God. There's a purpose in them. But by having that purpose, many people followed him only for that reason. And so we need to follow the Lord Jesus today. We need to seek his will. We need to hear his word. We need to know that the word of God is proclaimed, and it's the church doctrine is based upon the scripture and not on man's traditions. It is not we're not coming and making it as many today of the mega churches. They have fast food there, so you can sit and you can eat and watch a big screen while the preacher preaches, because we've got to have the joy. We've got to have the excitement. Well, if that's what you're looking for, you certainly don't belong here, because we're here preaching the Word of God, standing upon the Word of God, and we love singing the beautiful old hymns, and we stay with the old hymns because there's a foundation there, there's the building there, and upon the Word of God. But oh, if you, as I've told folks, if you don't like what's here, just keep looking, because I promise you, you're going to find something that you like, because there's all diversity of forms of so-called worship, and it's not worship. It's just a country club style of preaching and teaching today. Please stay away from it and stand upon the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God. Don't go for the excitement. As we find now and continue in verse 3, Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. In the Greek, you might think it's a very small thing, but Jesus went up into a mountain. He went up into the mountain. And so it gives us the thought and the appearance that maybe this is a place where he goes often. this isn't the first time that he has went to this place. It would give that appearance, maybe a very favorite place that the Lord Jesus would go to fellowship with his Father and to be strengthened by his Father. The disciples, as the third verse tells us there, these disciples is probably more than just the 12. There's probably many that are following. And so, as we find that it wasn't just, you know, you say disciples, you think of just the 12, but there were 70. There were many disciples that followed the Lord Jesus. The sad thing is that in this same chapter, verse 66, if you will turn, just you may have to turn the page, maybe not, John 6, 66. Now, you think about that. 666. Now, and you look at what this verse of Scripture says. If you don't love the old King James Bible, you're really missing a blessing. For that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Look at that. The number of man, and man chose not to follow God, but go back to do what they will love to do, and that's be of the world. And so I saw that 666, and I thought, I saw that cross reference, I wonder what that says. And it says, man just went back to being man. They didn't want to serve God. They didn't want to praise God. And I thought that was really neat that it's under the number of man right there in that verse of Scripture. The disciples, so we know that many of the disciples, those that followed Jesus, were with Jesus, stopped following, stopped working. We see that today. Somebody works for many years, and you just work beside them, and all of a sudden, they stop working, they stop serving, and it's so sad because they're really, really missing the blessing. He told them to sit down. You know, they sat down, it says here, that he sat with his disciples. And so, as we said before, he is physical. He needs the rest. And so they all sat down. They were tired. They needed the rest. And there's nothing more enjoyable than being out in a field or back in the timber, and you get that little ray of sunshine coming down, and you find this log to sit on. It's quiet, it's restful, it's just wonderful. And our Lord found this place, and it seemed to be kind of a grassy knoll, the way the Scripture tells us, and they enjoyed sitting here and enjoying this. And again, it's sad by the cross reference that we looked at in 666 there that many didn't stay the course. They didn't stay. And again, we see that today. Verse 4, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. This maybe explains why all the people were there. Because with the Passover, people come from all over the world to come to be in Jerusalem during that day. And so that maybe explains the larger numbers than ever. Because to have 5,000, and as the Scripture tells us here for the number, and that was just the men. That wasn't the women and the children. And so how many were there? 10,000? 15,000? We don't know how many was present on this knoll for this wonderful miracle that was about to be performed. And they were coming to Jerusalem for the purpose of bringing their sacrificial lamb, you know, for Passover. They come and the blood, the shedding of the blood. You know, the first Passover that was held as it was given them by the Lord. They were to kill the lamb. They were to prepare it a certain way. They were to girt their loins. They were to be ready to go. They were to take the blood and put it over the doorpost or over the lintel. It was to be presented in that way. And if you neglected to put the blood over the doorpost, you could have done everything else. Could have done everything else, but you didn't put the blood over the doorpost. That death angel, when he came through, and it was the death, they said there was not one household in Egypt that wasn't touched by the death angel. Somebody died in every household that night when that death angel came through. All you had to do was put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. You just need to listen to the Word of God. Same way today. You won't be saved. You just listen to the Word of God. That's all you have to do. Come by faith and trust in Him, and you will be saved. So simple, so easy. But we find that they were coming to bring this sacrificial lamb at Jerusalem, and they didn't realize that the sacrificial lamb was going to give them bread that day up on the Mount of Sinai. He shared the bread with them. And we find in verse 5, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company coming to him. And he asked a strange question to Philip. I could see Philip asking the Lord Jesus, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" I can see Philip asking that question, but it seems strange that the Lord asked Philip that question. Well, what did Philip do? Philip did what you and I always do. Checked our pocketbook. I don't think we got enough money to feed 5,000. It says in verse 6 that there was a reason for this, because he wanted to, he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. You see, the Lord always knows the plan. But he asked these questions to grow them. And he wanted to see what Philip's answer was. And so we find that while Philip, you know, he tells him, he immediately checks the pocketbook. Who has the pocketbook? Judas. So Philip goes to Judas and says, "We need to count this money and see how much money we got." Well, they have, according to verse 7, 200 penny loaf of bread. And Philip said, that's not near enough that we could go and buy just a little bit. Why did he ask Philip? You wonder? Why did he ask Philip this question? Philip's from Bethsaida. Philip knew where to go buy bread. Now, do you think there's enough bread in all the bakeries and all the homes in Bethsaida to feed 10, 15,000 people? How's your cupboard look? 15,000 people show up today to your house for dinner. What would you do? You do like I do. You can say, "Go on over to the restaurant, eat, I'll be there to pay later." We look at this wonderful, beautiful miracle that is about to happen here. And even in the miracle, our Lord is teaching his disciples some just simple principles. He has Philip and Judas, they're sitting there counting the money. And they come up with 200 penny loaf of bread. That's we can buy this much, but that's not, you know, they're not even going to get a morsel out of all the people that are here for the money that we have. Andrew comes up and he says something. Now, undoubtedly, while the Lord asked Philip this question for him to see what he was going to do, was he going to depend upon his pocketbook, depend upon his own ability to feed these people and what they had acquired? Or then Andrew seemed to do something different. He went out and searched the crowd. And he found out of this whole crowd, he found one little boy's lunch. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. But then Andrew said, "But that's all I found. What's that to this many people? How can this be enough to take care of it?" And so even Andrew, and especially Philip and Judas, I'm sure, they set their ability to take care of this need by one thing, and that was by dollars and cents. And we do the same thing. We set our goals. We set our life upon dollars and cents. We have this many dollars so we can do this. We have this many cents so we can do this. Of course, cents don't go very far today. We have to just kind of go with dollars. But as we look at this, we limit ourselves in what we can do for the Lord by our dollars and cents. And this lesson here really tells us that we shouldn't do that. We should set our life and set our goal upon what the Lord wants us to do, and He will supply. And we see that, and we find this very, very easily. These five barley loaves was not what you pick up at the grocery store. It was basically just five small little biscuits. And then he had the two fish, and that's all that was there. Jesus had the power here today, has the power today, to take our very little and make it very much. He has that ability. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. It's wonderful to watch the Lord, how He can take so little and make it so much. He can take that dollar bill and He can stretch that thing, and it's just unbelievable. It's a joy to watch how the Lord treats His own, and we are His. Jesus, in the response from Andrew, if you'll look in the end of verse 9, but what are they among so many? In other words, what's this small little lunch to so many people? And Jesus gave the instructions, and He made the men to sit down. And so instead of answering, it doesn't seem that He even answered Andrew. He just said, have the men sit down. Now, in Mark, we are given that He was to sit down in ranks of hundreds and fifties. And so when you read all the Gospels, you can get some a little different look sometimes of everything that's going on. But He so told them to sit down. And one thing, as many things to learn from this, is to depend upon the Lord. That many times, even though our money doesn't seem like it's going to be adequate, the Lord can meet our needs, and He will take care of us. And also, we learned here that even His own, the close to Him, these disciples, they immediately depended upon things that they knew and things that they had, instead of being saying, Lord, what would You have us to do? Lord, what would You like us to do? And so understand that now, as He is setting all these folks down, look at the organization. To seat 10,000 people was done very orderly. It was done very calmly. And everybody sat down in 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, all things to be done decently and in order. And our Lord definitely shows us these pictures. Now that they were able they were seated. Now, in verse 10, there was much grass in the place, and so we are aware that there was kind of a grass knoll here. So the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. So by the children and spouses, I'm sure that because it speaks of the men, and so we're probably somewhere between 10 and 15,000. And even if it was just 5,000, think of the enormous miracle that is about to take place here. Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, we should never sit down and eat, and not only just our food, but we should give our Lord thanks constantly. We should praise Him. Get here this morning with a little bit of ice. Lord, you'd think that You would have removed that ice so we'd get to church. Or, thank You, Lord, for getting me here safe, because I sure want to be in Your house. How do we give thanks? And especially, it's an opportunity. We all most eat three times a day. So we have three opportunities every day to thank our Lord for not only the food we're about to eat, but for the day that he has given us, and ask him for the power and strength that we need. Again, what a lesson. Our Lord himself gave thanks. He wants to teach his disciples the importance of this. And he distributed to his disciples. We're not sure, again, how many. We're believed that there's much more than 12. And so they were doing it. So the Lord blessed the food, and then he gave it to his disciples, and the disciples gave it to them that were set down. And then likewise, he followed with the fish. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And we're told there were 12 baskets. 12 baskets. Now, when we look at this tremendous miracle, did the Lord make this big pile of bread and big pile of fish and then they just started taking? No. I believe the Lord just took that bread and he just kept tearing off of those little loaves, and he just kept tearing off and kept tearing off and just kept handing it out and handing it out. And all of a sudden, the 5,000, there were five loaves, that's one loaf per 1,000. And to take that and to give that out, and to do the same with the fishes, and to end up with 12 baskets full remaining after this was finished. Now, our Lord is as powerful as he was this day. He can take care of every need that you have. And he loves doing it in a miraculous way. Because when he does it in a miraculous way, then we kind of wake up and realize you're the one doing it. Long as we got money in our pocket and can pay our own way, we don't need him. We're to be wise in spending. We're to be good stewards. But we depend way too much upon what we have and not what we could receive from our Lord if we would depend upon him. Jesus saw the need of these people. He looked out and he saw that they were hungry. He saw the need of these people and he met that need. And our God is the same God that was here. Our God today wants to meet our needs. What a miracle. You want to call it 5,000, or you want to call it 10,000, or you want to call it 15,000 people sat down that day. And from the five loaves and two fishes, ate all they wanted and had 12 baskets left. Why did he gather the 12 baskets? Number one, to show that everyone had enough. And also, what does it say? That nothing be lost. This will be eaten later. We're not to be wasteful. And the Lord is teaching this here, that it's got a purpose. We'll eat this later. Or it's who knows who they took these 12 baskets to? Could have been to the poor. Could have kept it for later use of themselves. Who knows what they have done with this? But we know that our Lord will meet our need. He wants to meet our need. And here was these 5,000, he showed mercy upon them. He showed mercy. Now, did all that 5,000 or 10,000 or 15,000, did they see that he was the bread of life? Not only did he hand out the bread for physical nourishment, but he is the sacrificial lamb. I am the bread of life. And so, yes, he takes care of us physically, but much more important than that, he takes care of us spiritually. And we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I purposely didn't read verse 14, and we're going to close with verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world." So by performing this miracle, the Lord was honored, the Lord was glorified. Did many multitudes continue to follow him just for the miracles? Yes. But we hope and pray that through the miracles, the miracle of salvation, that's the greatest miracle that's ever performed, when a person can be made new by and through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to take that miracle, and we need to tell this lost and dying world that Jesus saves. We need to take that message out. What a wonderful day it was that day on the Mount. They went to get away from the multitudes. And the next minute we look, he's feeding 5,000. Yeah. What a God we serve. Let's close with prayer. Thank you, Father, for today. And this is the day that you have given us. And we're to make some plans for tomorrow, but to focus on today. Enjoy today. Praise you today. Thank you, Father, today for the needs that you have given us. Thank you, Father, for the many wants that we have. Father, you've given us so much. Most of all is the salvation that you've given us. The rest is no importance at all. It's enjoyment. We enjoy it, but the greatest thing is your salvation that you have handed to us if we just believe. You shed your blood on the cross of Calvary that we can live. If we believe, we'll have life. I hope all here today possess that life. Enjoy it. Grow from it. Be strengthened by it. Enjoy the wisdom of each day. But Father, if there are those here that have not come to you by faith, please today that they'll come. We beg, Father, that they'll come today, that they'll not put it off one more day or one more hour. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Speak to all of our hearts, Father, and I just thank you for this wonderful day, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.